Secondly, just the whole issue about nation. If we are a nation, it refers to us, or a race, as a group of people with a common identity, a common purpose, a common goal. And it gets to the point of what we spoke about so much to this year, the fact that we are a family. We are a family. We're a place where we love one another. We're a place where we grow in love for one another. And also one or two things, a little bit more about that. But it's, firstly, we belong to Jesus. So in terms of the church's relationship with God, or just existence, first priority, focus on God. Focus on one another in terms of developing family, developing the love for one another. And then the third one there, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness. So this church of Jesus Christ, this family of Jesus Christ, has to proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness. And it's a little bit weird in the ESV. There's some other translations say specifically that to go and tell others what he has done for you. Afrikaans says it very beautifully. It says it, om te gaan verkondig die verlossingsdade van hy wat julle uit duisternis geroep het. That's the third part. So we see three things in terms of the existence of the church that's important. First one is to focus on God. Second one is focus on the body of Christ, the family. And then the third one is focus on God's mission. Serve God, serve one another, serve God's mission. Those are the three things that we continually get back to. And those are the three things we've basically been speaking this year about. And tonight I want us to bring them together to understand them, and then from there take them outwards in terms of our own individual application of them. Those three things, obviously, they never stand apart, always linked, and I'll show you in a minute how they're linked together. Let's continue with verse 11 and verse 12, still in 1 Peter 2. It says, the beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. And the ending makes just the end purpose of what God wants to establish so much more clearer, and also the reason why he wants us to go and proclaim what he has done for us so much more clearer. It doesn't just end with the fact that, okay, go and tell the world, that is what we have to do, but in terms of God's purpose for it, it extends beyond that. It extends beyond that. It gets to the point of where it says there at the bottom that they, talking about the Gentiles in this context, those not in relationship with God, that they may see your good works and therefore glorify God on the day of visitation. So it's literally God's ultimate purpose is, yes, go and tell, but this is what I want to happen. I want the Gentiles, I want those who don't have relationship with me to see the life that you live so that they can change and respond to my love so that they can glorify me in their lives. That's the end goal. That's the end purpose that God has in mind for the earth. And again, something Christians often misunderstand, and especially from where most of us come from, just the whole thing that we are a chosen race. We're a chosen generation. And Afrikaans uses the word uitverkore. It's often something that we use and we say, okay, because we are chosen, we have to be separate from. And that's not true. We're simply chosen to fulfill a certain purpose. That's what we are. That's why we are chosen. And I think it's important to see that. Like I've also said a number of times, we spoke a lot this year about the church being a family. And I really want us to see that, yes, we're a family, but we're a family with a purpose. And that purpose, obviously, will mean we are an evangelistic community. We exist to see people come to the knowledge of the truth and come into relationship with Christ. That is why we are here. That is what God wants to do. So we, in everything we do, even in being a family, even in as a family, growing in love for one another, growing in love towards one another, even that is with the aim of reaching the lost in mind. Even that. So it's still important. We have to grow in love for one another. We have to support one another. But it's that in itself is not the end goal. That in itself is not the end plan. The end plan is then to be a family of which more people can become family. Just a quote from last week. Those of you who weren't here will be new. Those of you who were will hear it again. Just out of the Vol studies, again, this very powerful quote. It says there, "It is not the God of the church that has a mission in the world. It is the God of mission that has a church in the world." God's got a plan. God's got a mission. His church is his vessel in order to see that mission be accomplished. And it's not the other way around. The mission is the end goal in itself. The church is not the end goal in itself. I guess there's some elements within being church which is obviously going to be sort of a prophetic idea of what's going to happen one day when Jesus returns. We're going to be with him in heaven, that community that we'll have there with him, with one another. That's obviously part of what we'll have here now, but we're still on earth. God's mission is still not completed, so the mission of the church is still to go out and to reach the lost. I mentioned the story this morning in Delft as well. Quite a number of years ago, Ross was still down in, up in Pretoria. And we got involved with the student ministry on campus there in Pretoria. And how it works there is all the churches that work on campus, they come together in a sort of a council, and the council would be the ones communicating to the university and back. And it works very well. A lot of openness from the university side for churches to minister on campus. And one of the meetings, Ross came back and he just told the story of one of the ladies who were there representing one of the other churches. Just Ross spoke to her just about the fact what the church's heart was there to really be there to save the lost, to go to the lost on campus and to see them come to salvation. Her response was, "Oh, I guess someone must do that." And to put it in a little bit of perspective, what was happening at that stage up there was there would be 40-odd thousand students on campus, 4,000 or 5,000 of them would be Christians, and the churches would fight for the Christians, which is very sad. Because the mandate of the church is not sheep stealing. The mandate of the church is to reach the lost. And so if she would come from an angle and say, "Oh, I guess someone must do that," it's sad. Because it's the mandate of the church. It's what God wants the church to do. And and I think it's, I just want to say it again. Whatever we do as a church, even our growing in love, our growing in community, is with that end goal in mind. To partner with Jesus in seeking and saving the lost. And I think in that sense, it's important that we, as a community, become very intentional in how we live. How do we respond to God? How do we serve him? How do we establish our community? And then obviously, how do we develop a heart for those that are lost? How do we serve him, serve one another, and serve his mission? Let's look at individual lives. How does it apply in our individual lives? As a community, with the purpose of seeing that those that are lost come into connection and come into salvation with Jesus Christ, I think we must ask the question, what is my role in it? And I think if every one of us has got this mindset just to see, okay, this is why we are here for, what do I have to do? I want us to just see, okay, how do I start? Where do we come from? How do I relate to God? How do I relate to what he has for me? And regarding that, the first thing, again, same as for the church. First thing is, I am in relationship with God. I am focusing on God in relationship with him. Sort of a first priority. I walk with him. Again, I live to honor him, and I find my joy in him. Second part would again be, same as for the church, I become part of the community of believers. And I build into the community, I receive from the community, I participate in it, and I grow in accountability towards one another, and obviously in the whole love and everything that goes along with being family. We spoke enough about that. And then the last one is still also the question, my heart for the lost. My heart in seeing people come into relationship with Jesus Christ. And what do I do regarding that? And again, it's again these this exact same three elements, where I in my personal life, just as we corporately as a church, I have to focus on God. I have to focus on the other believers along with me in church. And focus on those relationships. Focus on the community. And then I have to focus on God's mission. Again, it's serve God, serve one another, serve God's mission. And Paul was like that. He is a bit of an example for us. And I want to read us one scripture, Philippians 1, verse 20 to 22. Thanks, Heinrich. He says, therefore, to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. The first one there, for me to live is Christ. We see Paul here completely sold out to Christ. For me to live is Christ. Completely sold out to him. He was focusing on God. He had this as his heart, at the bottom of his existence. Focusing on God, living to honor him. The second part in terms of loving the community, focusing on the community of God, is not really in that scripture. We spoke quite a lot about it and to see Paul's heart regarding that. I'm only going to give you one, Galatians 6 verse 10. We mentioned it a lot already this year. But it just says that, Paul speaking, he says, do good unto everyone, but especially unto the household of faith. Paul really had a heart for family, a heart for community. And then the last one is again within the scripture. He says, if I'm to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. And fruitful labor, in the context of Paul, we must place within his calling, where God told him, you are my apostle to go to the Gentiles to tell them of me. Fruitful labor. Serving God, serving God's house, and then serving God's mission. So how do the three things come together? Serving God, serving one another, serving God's mission. How do the three things come together? First one is actually quite easy. Actually, all of them are easy. If I stand in relationship with God, I want to serve him, I want to bring him glory, I want to honor him. That's one fact. If someone comes to salvation, what do? They start to honor and glorify God. So to focus on God, to focus on God's mission, it's not two different directions. When you focus on God, you give him glory. You focus on mission and see that people get into relationship with him, they give him glory. It's the exact same thing. They work together. They are the same thing. Another thing regarding that, if I live in relationship with God, I get excited about what excites him. And what does excite him? It's Luke 15, verse 7, that says specifically that there's more joy in heaven when one lost person comes to salvation than over 99 persons who don't need to repent of their lives. More joy when one comes to salvation. That's what gives God joy. And if I'm living to serve God, I will get excited about what brings him excitement. It's the exact same thing. Second one is being part of God's family and serving God's mission. How do those two come together? It's quite simple. Again, we said we're a mission. We're a community with a purpose. We're a family with a purpose. The purpose is to see the lost found and the lost saved. And it just flows from there. If I'm participating in this family, I'm participating also in the vision and the focus of this family, and that is to see the lost get saved. So again, to focus on the family, to focus on one another, and to focus on God's mission is not two separate things. It's the same. It's the exact same thing. And again, like I said a while ago, we must start to live with specific intention in our lives. And I think to get to that just a couple of questions that we must maybe ask ourselves in terms of our personal lives. And the question that I just want to give you is, why am I here? And we can look at that question on a number of different levels. The first one would be, okay, why am I on earth? Simple answer, I'm on earth to give glory to God. That's why I'm here, serving God. And the second one is, why am I in church? I'm in church to build God's family, to build God's community, to participate in it. That's the second reason, focusing on God's on God's house in terms of what he wants to do here. And then the third one, this is where it gets really personal. Is okay, I know why I'm on earth, I know why I'm in church. Why do I have the work I have? Why am I in the social group where I'm at? Why do I have the gym partners I have? Why do I have the same guys jogging with me? Why do I have the same guys in the same running club with me? And that's the sort of question we must ask ourselves. Because I really believe God wants us to really change the way we think about his purpose, about his call, and start to see our own lives as part of what he wants to do. Because if we change our life view regarding this, regarding that I'm working not just for myself, but for him, things really becomes different. Then you're not working anymore to earn a better salary, to buy what you want to buy, or to pay for your next holiday. Then you're not working anymore and using your work just as a stepping stone to get somewhere. Then you're not just in a training club to better the time you can run a half marathon. There's a different purpose. You're suddenly starting to live for something bigger, something greater, something with value, something with eternal value. If we change just our mindsets regarding what God wants to do, our prayers change, the way we live and think to, relate to other people changes. If we just change our idea of why am I here? And Paul again, similar. Colossians 1 verse 24. He uses very interesting words. He says, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church." Very, very interesting words that Paul uses. He says that I fill up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. Now, how can that be? How can there be something lacking in the afflictions of Christ? What's missing? What is not there? We see Jesus coming to earth. We see him walking on this earth a sinless life. We see him being crucified as an innocent man. We see him dying. We see him resurrecting, overcoming death for us. What is lacking? The only thing that still lacks is that the rest of the world still do not know what Jesus has done. So when Paul says that I fill up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, he's referring to that. He's referring to the fact that he goes out to be a witness of what Jesus did for him and for those that he speaks to. That is what Jesus did. Sorry. And again, that mission, that purpose is still continuing. The church can really, fulfill, or fill up, I guess is the right word to use, what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. And that is, there's still so many people that do not know. I hope it's dead now. I've got a continual battle with a frog. In any case, so again, I think we must ask ourselves, have I aligned myself with God's mission on this earth? Me personally, have I aligned myself with God's mission? And that is to seek and to save the lost. We really, as a family, we exist not just to build ourselves up, but for so much more, so much more. I think it's important that we understand our own personal roles in terms of this, that we understand that our own lives is part of God's strategy to reach those that are not in relationship with him. As a church, there's basically three different areas that we can see. And it's maybe just us as a church, that's, I guess, God's sort of strategy to go and reach the lost. Yes, the church remains his vessel, but there's different ways in which it happens. And the first one is what we had in the slides there, India, Nepal, Lesotho missions, with a church which actually organize a mission where we go somewhere, either to an unreached group or to a group that have been reached, but there's still so much that we can build into them. We support the local people and the local church. That's what we do. Then the second one is like we also spoke quite often this year, not so much from the pulpit, but in the sessions we had with the small group leaders, the small groups deciding as a group, what are we going to do? We're going to have a community outreach, going to spend time with some orphans somewhere, we're going to have an evangelistic outreach, go and just speak to people, and yeah, speak to them about Jesus. But the third one is what I want to focus on tonight, and that is your own personal life. And I want to really emphasize that we must understand that God even sees my personal life as part of His strategy to reach those that are not in relationship with Him. And the reason why that is important is simply the church as an institution. God doesn't mean for the church as an institution to reach everyone, because the church as an institution can't. There's many people out there today that wouldn't even want to listen to what a church would say. But those same people are very open to listen to what another Christian in his, whom he's in a relationship at work or wherever, he's willing to listen to that person. And that's what I mean when I say the church as an institution might not be able to reach that person. But as an individual, I'm a contact point for Jesus, a contact point for the church to meet with that person. And to show that person Jesus, to show that person God's community. That is what God wants to do in our personal lives. So what does it mean on a very practical level? It means that at work, I'm going to be very intentional in building relationship with someone in order to some stage speak about Jesus. It means that with my social group, whatever, my unsaved buddies, I bring them over for a braai, with the intention to build relationship so that at some stage I can talk about Jesus with them. And the same with your running buddies, the same with your buddies wherever you are, your gym partners, whatever. Being intentional in the way we live. And it doesn't mean you're doing some other underhand thing that you're just sort of putting up a face and then one day, bam, hit them with a Bible. That's not what I mean. That's not what I mean. You build relationship, you love, you be Jesus for them. Until you can show them who Jesus actually is. And it's an ultimately, in any case, it's for their good as well, to come into relationship with Jesus Christ. And I think it's often something that we find difficult to see that we have to do. And again, just think, where do you come from? Where have you been? Who have been the people that were involved in you coming to relationship with Jesus Christ? And where would you have been without them? Where would you have been without them? And that's the same thing. That's the exact same thing that we should be for other people. I think it's actually quite amazing how, if we just change our mindset a little bit about this, where we can actually still continue doing what we enjoy. We can still continue doing what we like. But we make the emphasis of why we do it different. The emphasis is being intentional in seeing people connect with Jesus. And I think in that sense, it's actually quite powerful if we open our lives to that degree and allow the Lord to really work through us and work in us. I spoke to, I think it was two or three cell leaders, small group leaders in the last few weeks. And it was so encouraging to me to listen to them and just see. Well, they were speaking about people who would join the small group and would be in the small group for quite a while before they even come to church. And for me, I'm getting like, yay, you know, that's, I can't say yay like Max does, I'm sorry. But it's something that I get excited about because that's the way it should be. Most people today who come into relationship with Jesus Christ come into relationship with Jesus Christ because of a Christian they are in relationship with. There are those people that come to church out of nowhere. God touches them, saves them, sorts them out that evening. There are people that you would go out in the street where Jesus would tell you, speak to this person, and they would respond. But most respond out of relationship. The best two evangelical tools that we as a church have had in the last 2 years has not been something the church organized. It was organized by individuals, and things happened. I'm talking about Monday night touch rugby, Tuesday night frisbee. People connect there. and God does something. So for some of us, and specifically those of us working in the church office, because there doesn't happen to be any unsaved people there, we need to be intentional in going to meet unbelievers. That means that even at home, I'm not just a neighbor to my neighbor anymore. I'm a neighbor with good intentions, if I can call it that. Just opening our lives to really allow the Lord to change or to use me. And I think, again, we come from a mindset, and Deval spoke about this, missions being out there, and even in a local context, we come from a mindset that says, okay, God, these 2 or 3 hours I'm going to give to you. And I'm saying, and yes, it's a challenge for me as well, I'm saying, that's not what we must do. I must open my life and share my life with people so that wherever I am, whatever I do it with the intention of seeing that someone comes into relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's not going to, that doesn't mean things are necessarily going to happen quickly. It's for most people, like I said, it comes from relationship with others. So it's going to be a building process. It's going to be a process, and obviously I'm going to link it to prayer, but I think it's, yeah, really powerful. We just change our mindset about it. I think it is really something that should influence everything we do. It should influence where do I work. It should influence the car I drive, where I stay, what social groups I join, all this sort of stuff. Because you always, you join them with the intention of somewhere along the line, after having built relationship with people, speak about Jesus. And it's a, yeah, for me it's a quite a bit of a mindset change to do. Okay, so just on a very practical level, I want to give you guys some tips in work or at studies. How do you witness? How do you witness? And it's going to be very practical. Just 5 points there. And I think it's all of them are very important. Again, all of this seed within a context that God sees my life as part of his strategy to seek and to save the lost. First one, excellence. I think it speaks for itself. Either the way you study or the services that you render or the products that you produce it with excellence. Because the excellence with which you work, that's indicative, or it shows, it portrays the excellence and the greatness of God. Second one, integrity. And obviously that means in everything that you do, that you obviously you always live with integrity, you live holy in that sense. And this is what it does. Living with integrity portrays the holiness of God. Love for people, quite obvious. When you're somewhere, you're always going to be, always going to love people, and you're going to love everyone the same. And it's difficult. It's not always easy. There's always some other person that's just so much more difficult to love. But therein lies the truth that it's we must allow Jesus to love them through us because he can. And he loves everyone the same. He's not partijdig, what's the word? Partisan. Like we are. So in any case, love for people, yeah, I'm not going to speak too much about that. Funny one, the use of your finances, and JP actually mentioned this. How you use your finances is actually so important in terms of your witness for God. Because how you use your finances shows what you deem as valuable. So you can actually show the worth of God in your life by how you use your finances. It's a bit of a challenge. It doesn't mean you aren't allowed to wear new clothes or whatever. Please wear new clothes. And then the last one, there, your verbal witness. And I put it last because that's often how things work in terms of our relationships with people. I think from the start they should know that we are Christians and they should know what we believe, but they should also know that we love them and we accept them as they are. But why I put it there, the other stuff is important because if it's not there, why should someone listen to you? But then the verbal witness is still important. Francis von Assisi, a guy who lived roughly 800 years ago, he came up with a slogan that many people still use. And the slogan is, preach the gospel and if necessary, use words. And it's a half-truth. It's not a full-truth. Because you can live a very holy life and that person is still not going to know that you're a Christian. You can be look very righteous. That person is still going to know that you're a Christian. Romans 10:13 says specifically, how will they know unless someone actually tells them? I'm paraphrasing, but that's what it comes down to. So we need to have a verbal witness as well, where somewhere along the line, you've built relationship, you've established, like Daniel in the Bible, a very good reputation, and people tend to be open. People tend to be willing to listen to you. And then you can share, and you can link them with Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3:15 is not on there. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Just being ready. Being ready to share and talk about Jesus. Philippians 3:17 is also not on there. Scripture that Paul uses, and he says, brothers, imitate me and look at those who walk in a similar way as I do. Again, I'm paraphrasing, but what it comes down to is the whole issue of, he says, imitate me like I imitate Christ. And then he also says that we should look at other Christians who walk according to God's ways, basically. And I think in our context, obviously, in terms of the relationships we have with one another, but we can look in history and see those Christians who actually made a massive impact in this world. How did they live? What was the standards which they lived by? And look at them. And obviously, we can learn and grow quite a lot from that. Tonight, I want us just to flip it around. And I want to see you as the one being looked at. And the question then would be is, do I live in such a way that people can look at me and grow closer to Christ? Because that's the question. That's what this whole slide is about. Living in such a way that people can look at me and grow closer to Christ. And then the last scripture that I want to read is Matthew 9:37 to 38. Very famous one. It's one that C.S. also mentioned, and he'll mention it in any sermon that he preaches. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So obviously, harvest speaking about the masses of people out there that are still not in relationship with Christ. And then Jesus says, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. So one of the things we must do, we must pray. But then the other thing which we must do is pray and be willing. Wherever I am, whatever I do, be willing that Jesus can work through me and use me. So bottom line for tonight to remember is I really believe God wants us to change the way we live, change the way we view our own lives. That we view it as the fact that we must change our lifestyles and in everything we do, be intentional to build those relationships, to ultimately talk about him, because we participate in his mission to seek and to save the lost. What I want us to do, just at the end now, is all of us here, we've got friends and people in all sorts of different places that don't know Jesus. And I simply want us to break up again, groups of two or three, pray together, and each person pray for one of two people that you know don't serve Jesus. And pray and ask the Lord to save them. As simple as that. And you pray for yours, the next person can pray for his or hers, the people that they know. So we don't make it too long. But let's do that. Let's end tonight and just focus on those that God has placed in relationship with us that don't know him yet. And let's pray together for them that Jesus might save them. Cool stuff.
Tak snad čo si říkám.
You've got 30 seconds just to close the prayer. Okay, hi guys. My name is Lisa. I was on stage last time as well, so sorry that I'm maybe becoming a bit of a regular. But while Jaco was preaching, I just wanted to run up and say yes, this is so cool what he's talking about, because just a testimony. I was down and out for a month or two. I just felt really, really not where I'm at. And I was asking myself, why is this? Why am I not enjoying the things that I used to enjoy? And then I actually just realized I've lost a bit of that purposeful living, because you're in the motion, you go to class, you go to work, you're doing the stuff that you're doing the whole time. And then I just realized, sure, I actually missed that purposeful, that intentional living that he was preaching about. And then I started to feel better, but the testimony that I actually wanted to share this morning, I went for a jog, and then while I was jogging, I told God, I said to him, Lord, I want you to use me this week. I don't know how, I don't know why, but for a purpose. And I just thought, okay, what can I give? Okay, so firstly, I thought, where am I at? My work situations is very weird. I don't see a lot of people while I'm working. I've got practices on my own and so on. So I just felt the Lord say to me, I said to the Lord, okay, Lord, I want to buy someone food that doesn't have food. That's where I can start, And then I thought, how am I going to do this? But that's just what I had at that moment, that I can buy someone food, that I can give something back to someone. And then I asked God, okay, Lord, but I don't know who's it going to be, but I'm trusting you that you're going to show me throughout the week that who it is. And he gave me a specific description felt like a specific description of who and what who this person is going to be. And just with that, I just want to add just to what Jaco said, you actually have to go out and pray for something like this, because we go out here and you go out and you're like, yes, I want to, I want to get people saved. Just to get back to my testimony, what I thought is so cool, because then I meet a physical need of someone that does need something, I just don't go out and Bible bash them and tell them. And then they would ask, why are you doing this? And then I would say, no, because I felt like God said that I must do this to you and to be kind to you. And in that, I would maybe start a conversation. I trust God for that, and maybe lead them to Jesus, whatever his plan is. So, what did I want to do? I was busy, sorry. I wanted to close now. Just wanted to say, you have to actually step out and ask God for that. We go out here and you're just like, yes, I want to do this. I want to go and save the world. But God only, I'm available. I made myself available to God, even though I don't feel like he can use me, but he does, So just to step out and actually just daily ask him to send people over your path. And he's really faithful in doing that. I can tell other testimonies also of how, when I just stepped out and I said, Lord, I'm willing, but I'm flipping scared, but I'm willing, so use me. And he does. Amen.
Okay, can we all stand, please?
Amen. We're just going to finish off with the worship. And I just want to invite you, specifically the words that also came in the beginning, those got a fear of death. We really believe there's people like that there tonight. And also, you don't feel love, you don't feel accepted. Then we would love to pray with you tonight. Okay, so you will know as we shared and as we talked and everything, you will know that this, you will feel God is working in your heart. I felt it often, okay? And you will know as well. And then there's freedom in the house. I really want to invite you guys to come forward while we're going to worship. And also sometimes we feel that we hear all the things about outreach and we must go and share, but you feel, God, I don't really have something to share. I don't know where to start. I don't have a story. I don't have a walk with you. Then tonight is your night. I want to invite you to come and we can pray with you, and your life will not be the same anymore. Your walk with God is going to start, and that's going to be your first testimony. When you experience God working in your life and you experience someone praying with you and just hearing what God's got on his heart for you specifically. And yeah, I just want to invite you guys, we're just afraid to come. I don't know why we don't come. But always when we're there, it is great. Because we experience God. Okay? And just the last 2 weeks, I was struggling with my lungs, struggling breathing, and it's just something that started about 4.5 years ago, and I didn't know why. I think it was from riding too much motorbike or something in the traffic and fumes. And 2 weeks ago, in my room, when I, some doctors said it's asthma and some others said other things, and so obviously you go for another opinion and it doesn't go away and you get a cortisone pump and other things, and so I'm using it and then sometimes I don't, and so I took this pump again and I thought, no, this is not on, I can't live like this. So I just put it back in the cupboard, put my hand on my lungs and said, God, this is going to stop in Jesus' name. I had enough. And then it's gone. So it's funny actually, every time I test and I take a deep breath and it's just fine. I went for a couple of runs and it's just fine. And that's the God we serve. He's got whatever you have on your heart, what you want. He knows your heart's desires, He knows your dreams, and He loves you. And even tonight, I want to invite you guys while we worship, because what God has done for me, He will do for you. He doesn't. Okay? So please use the opportunity to come, and we trust God for a breakthrough, or a blessing, or healing for you. Amen.
Here for you. Let our praise be your welcome. Let our songs be a sign. We are here for you. We are here for you. Let our breath come from heaven. Fill our hearts with your life. We are here for you. We are here for you. To you our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. To you alone are holy. Only you are worthy.
let your fire fall down. Let our shouts be your anthem, your renown fill the sky. We are here for you. We are here for you. Let your word move in power. Let what's dead come to life. We are here for you. We are here for you. To you our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are a one desire. To you alone are holy. Only you are worthy. God, let your fire fall down. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, we welcome you in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, we welcome in this place. Let every heart adore. Let every soul awake. Almighty God of love, we welcome in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcome in this place. To you our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are a one desire. To you alone are holy. Only you are worthy. God, let your fire fall down. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, we welcome in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, we welcome in this place.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for just a good time in your presence. We thank you for your word, Lord God, the fact that your word is truth and life. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to take that truth, to take that life, Lord God, and to take it to those who don't experience it, to those who don't have it. Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, come and empower us. Come and give us that ability. Come and change our hearts. Lord God, that we'll, that our hearts will break for what breaks yours. In Jesus' name. Help us, Lord. We want to serve your mission. In Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, go and enjoy some coffee and tea at the back. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. And go and serve God's mission. If there's still some ministry needs, you guys are welcome to come forward. We'd love to pray with you. And then if the men can just help us to set out the tables again. We need 10 rows of 27 tables. So you can help us with that. Thank you, guys. God bless.